Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, June 29th, 2018. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Good to have you here. And John Martellaro. How's it going?
Hey, I'm good. How about you?
I am doing great. I need to give everyone a little bit of Jeff pimping, because I am talking at WordCamp Denver in July. So July 28th and 29th, WordCamp Denver. I'm talking about podcasting and WordPress. So it's going to be a lot of fun. WordCamp is always really cool anyhow. So it's also inexpensive. So come hang out with me in Denver. It'll be a lot of fun. All right. I'm done self-promoting for the moment. Let's talk about Apple Maps. And the reason I want to talk about Apple Maps today is because Eddie Q did an interview with TechCrunch where he announced that Apple Maps is getting a complete reboot with iOS 12, like from the ground up. They've literally started over with Apple Maps. So they've been spending the past 4 years just like creating a complete new system. They've been creating their own map data, so they're not going to rely on any services anymore. And they're saying that this is going to be much more detailed than what you're getting anywhere else. They'll be able to make changes to maps much faster than they do now, which means a new road gets built, it'll actually show up on the map in a reasonable time. Something changes, they can get the maps updated right away. So rolls out with iOS 12 starting in California, and then it'll expand out from there over the year, or throughout 2019. So I thought we should take a look at this, because I'm curious, what do you guys think about this?
So like hard, when you say hard reboot, like they're drawing a line in the sand and none of the brand new app and brand new data, like completely new thing, service, interface, all of it? Or is the existing / new iOS 12 maps app going to sort of choose which maps database it's using based on where you are and what Apple has updated and migrated and all that stuff yet?
Well, so the ultimate answer is just Apple stuff, period. But they're going through this transition through 2019. So what you're envisioning, where there will be some areas where you're getting data from other services as opposed to Apple, but appearing in the Apple map. Yes, that's going to happen. But ultimately, when the transition is done, no. So
right. Okay. Yeah. So it will be one app that pulls data from these two different Apple databases, the existing one and then the new one that they're building and rolling out.
Right. Until they finish the rollout, then it's just the brand new database.
Right. So it's slowly and without necessarily updates to the app, like not having to not updating iOS, the data that we experience when using Apple Maps will slowly migrate from the old servers to the new servers.
Yes.
For lack of a more technical way of explaining it. Okay. Well, sure. That's fine. Sounds good. Hopefully they can do better than they have. In looking at the piece, it seems like they're starting with California, right?
Yes.
Here's the thing. Apple Maps works pretty well in California already. I get why they would start there, because that's where they are. And so they are going to be testing it a lot more. And that's a good thing. But they don't have a problem there as much as they do everywhere else. I've used Apple Maps in a variety of places. And Apple Maps is pretty good and pretty reliable in California. But like here in New Hampshire, not so much. Like Google Maps or Waze, which is also Google Maps, works way better than Apple Maps does for
me. Same here in Colorado.
Right.
And I found in Colorado that Apple Maps tends to be more reliable than Google Maps for me.
Really?
And, oh yeah. Like
not here. So. Not here.
Mm-mm. How far? And you guys are what? You know, 30 minutes away from each other?
Yeah. An hour.
An hour. Okay. All right. So, all right.
It's yeah. I find it fascinating that I have friends that live blocks away from me. Mm-hmm. And they abhor Apple Maps in the way that I abhor Google Maps. And they say, I can never find anything that I want in Google Maps. And I'm like, well, that's great. I might be able to find it, but I'll never be able to get to it. And it's, yeah, my feeling is all of the current offerings that we have for mapping services kind of suck. I mean, they all have good points and they all have bad points. So you have to choose which bad points are you willing to tolerate.
Sure.
And
yeah, of course. Of yeah. course.
So
yeah.
I'd like a service where I don't have to feel like that.
I have a suspicion, Jeff, that Apple, of course, in the feedback system within iOS can detect when people are launching Apple Maps and Google Maps and seeing what sure. the relative usage is. And I think that this initiative was probably brought on by the fact that people were not using Apple Maps in preference to Google Maps in a broad swatch, and probably started this project as a result of saying, look, we want their customers to use one map service and we want it to be ours. And it wasn't happening because Google Maps was so good and had such a head start. And so I can understand the motivation here.
Well,
it's good.
And I don't think Apple, based on the TechCrunch interview, I don't think Apple has ever been really pleased with Apple Maps. That like they feel like this just isn't up to their standard. And yeah. so they decided, all right, we have to fix it. And that means we have to start from scratch and we have to do all our own stuff. And so we'll see what happens. I mean, I would like to think that this will be better than what we have today, but I will hold judgment until I actually get to see this in action. And I do keep Google Maps on my iPhone because there are times when I will search for something in Apple Maps and it's not there, but it is in Google Maps. So it'll be my fallback. Other times I'll use Google Maps because it's just easier than listening to everyone else in the car just whine about me using Apple Maps. And I'll start in Google Maps and I'll be like,
so it's not there. It sounds like maybe there's a predisposition to dislike Google that might be factoring into your overall experience with the various mapping engines.
Well, my predisposition to not like Google Maps comes from routinely having Google Maps send me to the wrong place. Like it'll get me near, but it'll want to put me like on the wrong block for something.
Okay.
Or, you know, it'll find something, but there's a critical inaccuracy in what it gives me. And I tend to have far fewer of those inaccuracies with Apple Maps.
Interesting.
Which is why yeah. I've been relying primarily on Apple Maps.
Sure.
But if I can't find something in Apple Maps, then I'll go and find it in Google Maps.
And, right.
You know, assuming it shows up there. But then I have to double check the route that it gives me to make sure that it's actually right. So
I like that Apple's rolling this out slowly or in a phased process. And I like the fact that they've had a chance to learn from the mistakes of the past. And I like the fact that, you know, 6 years later, our computer technology is advanced to the point where Apple can really do this right with historical perspective and clear technical goals and alertness about the way to handle it. I've got a good feeling about this.
I'm cautiously optimistic, but I'm afraid that what I will experience is exactly what I experienced when Apple Maps initially rolled out, or something similar to that, where there's a lot of frustration because locations that I want to find simply aren't there, like, far too often.
Right, right.
And I've already been through that. I don't want to have to go through that again.
Well, if we're using Apple Maps 9 times out of 10, and it's on page 1, that it may not be perfect, and you'll use Google Maps as a backup. But I
just like I'm doing now.
Right now, I have Apple Maps on page 2, and I have Google Maps on page 1, right up there with all my primary go-to apps on page 1 of my iOS devices.
You are not alone.
I would like to switch that, you know, and have Apple Maps be my go-to, and Google as a backup when I need occasional support. And I think that's what Apple's goal is, too, to get to reverse this 90-10 ratio.
I think that's a reasonable goal for them. And so
this will be interesting. I'm curious to see how.
Uh-oh, I think we just lost Dave.
I hear you, Jeff, but I think I lost Dave as well.
Yeah, my guess is that Apple has been eavesdropping on the conversation and decided they were afraid of what Dave might say. Understandable. So, anyhow.
Oh, he can hear us. Hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's all right. You know, sometimes technology fails us, just like we see with maps, both from Apple and Google. All right. Well, you know, the whole maps.
Do you know?
What I know is that Apple has a pretty high bar that's been set because of the expectations we have. So, so they better really come through with this new version of maps.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, right? They, you know, can they compete with Waze? Like that's the big question now, because Waze is the winner, right? And I know you might have your feelings about it, and I actually used to have some very strong feelings against Waze, but the reality is that that's the current winner, right? That's what most people that put any thought into this and try out the different apps, that's what most people settle on. And for good reason, right? It does a great job most of the time at routing you around traffic and all of that stuff. And so the question is, you know, is that Apple's target? Let's hope that's their target, is to beat Waze, not just to beat Apple Maps.
The other thing we haven't talked about, Dave, is privacy. I think there's a great comment in the TechCrunch article about how Apple asked themselves, why are we doing maps? And every time I use Google Maps, I have this vague feeling that what I'm doing is being watched very carefully, and I don't like it too much.
Well,
I mean, yes, Google is tracking you, but is that all is that where the vague feeling comes from?
Well, I mean, there's so many things being added to Google.
Sure.
You know, like assistance in finding things and all these features that are being added. And it just seems like, you know, it's not just a map service. It's a way to figure out what I'm doing and what I'm up to.
Oh, absolutely. When I'm stopped at a traffic light, Waze will, you know, tell me about the Dunkin' Donuts around the corner and things like that, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. So
for
there's
sure.
a good reason for me to be in love with Apple Maps. Because of the attention to privacy that Apple has exhibited.
Well, but see, is that their downfall? Like, just like we're seeing with Siri, right? Amazon and Google are beating the pants off of Apple in terms of ease of use and functionality and I don't want to say minimizing frustrations, but because they're all insanely frustrating to use, right? Mm-hmm. but Siri is more frustrating than you know, Google Assistant or Amazon's A-Lady, largely because of these, the fact that Apple's commitment to privacy and I believe it is an actual commitment, keeps them from letting Siri really learn what's going on with you and then apply that in a sort of, you know, holistic way to everybody that's using Siri. And so the engine gets smarter, less faster than the others, right? It doesn't get to learn as much. And that I think is, you know, factors into the frustration. So are we going to see the same thing with maps, right?
Like, I think Apple has to teach us how to handle the situation better.
Yeah.
You said you stopped at a red light, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, your Google Maps app says, hey, there's a Dunkin' Donuts around the corner. Are you hungry for donuts?
But it is the thing we don't want.
The creepy part. But you can be stopped at the corner of 5th and Elm and say to yourself, boy, I sure would like a steak sandwich for lunch. Hey, Siri, how far away is a good steak shop? You know, so what you'll get is
I found 4 websites about that. You know, that's the problem.
Right on, Dave. That has to be fixed.
And I'm driving, I'm driving. I have the maps going. Why in the heck are you trying to get me to read the web? That's crazy. So
are you listening?
Yeah. So that's the thing that needs to be be addressed here. And I'm curious to see if, you know, and Apple's always been about the long game, right? So, you know, we get frustrated that this isn't fixed in 3 months or 3 days or even 6 months. But, you know, I think realistically, they might be looking at the 2-year time frame, right? They can't look further than that. They could. I mean, they could look at the, you know, we're going to win the game in 10 years. But they've got to make a really good bet to do that, because in the interim, whatever that interim is, Amazon and Google are beating the pants off of them, and people are beginning.
Yeah, but is it affecting Apple's business?
Well, so look at HomePod, right? If I'm going to get a smart speaker for my home that I want to sound good and also be a voice assistant, it's like, okay, you know, HomePod sounds good. I mean, we can complain about the low end and things like that, but you know, by and large, it sounds way better than those Bluetooth pills we all, you know, had to deal with. Mm-hmm. So great. Okay. Got that. But you know, JBL's got a speaker that speaks, you know, Google language, and that's way more, functional and convenient to use than Siri is, or, you know, Sonos. Great. And it also sounds great, right? So, yep, checks that box. And then Sonos has their speakers that currently support Alexa, right? The Sonos One and the new Sonos Beam, they both support Alexa, but they're, you know, following in Sonos's long paved path of open standards. They will support Google Assistant later this year, right? So, and you can just choose to switch between them, and you just log into whichever account and you're done. And, you know, so, okay, well, wait a minute. That's pretty good. And that's going to work with AirPlay too. So that's how it's affecting Apple's business.
But Jeff pointed to an article a few days ago, and I think I included it in Particle Debris too, where a research project pointed out that people were using these devices not for music, maybe idle music while they're baking, but mostly what? It was weather.
Well, they're using
it for music. What was the list of 4 things?
They're music players, and they do basic like news questions and weather questions. They're not using them as true voice assistants.
Right. Right. But even that kind of stuff. Like, I asked the thing once. I asked actually all 3 of them because it was very curious. I was frustrated because our relatively new cat wanted to be, you know, awake at night, as cats are wont to do, and was sleeping a lot during the day. So I just asked, first I started with the A lady because I was just frustrated. I said, how do I change my cat's sleep schedule? And and it said, I don't know how to do
that.
Good
luck with that.
Yeah, basically that's what I got. I'm like, yeah, of course. And then I thought, well, wait a minute. You know, the Google Assistant's actually pretty good at things like this. So I asked the exact same question with the same words of the Google Assistant, and I got a reply that informed us fully as to how to solve this problem in about, you know, 19 seconds. And I thought, holy crap. Okay, cool. And so I asked, you know, of course I asked the Siri the same thing, and it was like, here's 4 web pages. Yeah, great, thanks. Yeah, that's real helpful. I could have done that search too. What Google did is it did the search and then, you know, digested it for me and spat out an audible representation of what I might have learned if I went and read those web pages. And it was truly helpful. It was like, don't feed them here, feed them then, do this, wake them up while they're sleeping during the day. I was like, holy crap. Like, you're a genius. Mm-hmm. So I like that to me is where, even for people that are using it like we do, we use it for the weather, we use it for timers, we use it to manage our grocery list, right? That's like, those are the three things that we use our voice assistant in the house for. And you could do that with any of them. But when you have that moment of, let me try this, right? I'm used to interacting with this thing, so I'm comfortable with this thing. Let me try, you know, pushing the envelope of this box. Let's just see what happens. And you know, when you start getting answers that are like, oh, I can push the envelope a little bit. Okay, cool. With Siri, you just don't get that. So I think that is where it's hurting Apple's business. Is mm-hmm. people aren't having this surprise, the surprise and delight when it comes to voice assistants, which again, in my opinion, Apple's is hampered by their commitment to privacy and security. There is no surprise and delight, whereas I do get surprise and delight more from Google than from any of the other, you know, the other two.
I struggle with that meme all the time, Dave. I ask myself over and over again, does Apple have to be better than everybody else at everything? And I think there's some people who believe that because Apple is so powerful and so rich and so big and so capable, that anytime they are not better than everybody else at everything, it's a failure. And I keep asking myself, is that really true? I haven't answered it completely yet, but I kind of feel like it's maybe not so true.
Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting thing, though. But, and so are we going to be dealt with the same thing, to circle it back to Jeff's original topic for us here? Is the same thing going to happen with Maps? Is it already happening with Maps? Is this where people are like, they use Apple Maps, but eventually, you know, if you're doing enough, you sort of, most people transition away that aren't in California. Right. You know, transition away. And so are we going to see this again and again and again? How is Apple going to solve this problem where they are limiting the data that they get to use to teach their engines about our lives? How are they going to compete? And it's just like, and I know they know that they need to answer that question. I mean, my guess is they've already got answers for it. We're just not quite seeing the outcome and the results.
Yeah, I think you nailed that one, Dave.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
My guess is Apple's game plan for this and for voice assistants is, how can we be on top in 2 years? And then how do we make sure that we're still on top 10 years from now? So they're playing a long game, but they have an interim step along the way. And I hope they have a good answer, because I would love to have Maps be just the bomb. Like, anytime I need to get somewhere, need information about a location, that's where I want it to come from, and it's just perfect. And for Siri to surprise and delight in the way that Dave's talking about. And for me, I know I've said this before, but I'm assuming there's at least a couple people that haven't heard. I have all three voice assistants in my place. I use the S Lady primarily for streaming music on the HomePod. I use the A Lady primarily for home automation. And I use the G Lady primarily to get questions answered.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly.
So I have to have three assistants in my place to get the all-in-one package that I really want.
And it's really only probably 40% of the all package that you want, but
yeah,
it gets you there.
But yeah, it gets me there. But this is the price I pay for being on the bleeding edge.
Totally. Totally. The problem is, we're sold a bill of goods that does not include the caveat of, oh, and by the way, 100% of these things leave you on the bleeding edge. Like, we're sold the bill of goods that, no, this is ready for prime time. Like, well, sure. If all you want to do is set timers and add your grocery list, yes.
Yeah. Well, apparently our edge is a little more bleeding than that.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, we're out of time. We have to wrap up. Dave, thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me. Fun one.
It was a lot of fun. And John, thank you for being here as well.
Thanks for having me as well.
Yeah.
Very good.
And listeners, I am so glad that you joined us. Thanks for being here. Everyone have a wonderful weekend, and we will see you again on Monday.